Say hello to a new friend on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.
Good morning, mi amigos. This week we have a great series of fun programs, stories from the infancy of the auto industry. And you have my unconditional guarantee that these programs will be chock full of obscure trivia, surprises, and fascinating information that you can use to amaze your friends or spark some interesting party conversation. You ready? Well, we'll get started this morning with, we'll be sharing the story of the legendary Stanley Steamer. Did you know that there is a Kodak connection to these legendary cars?
Uh-oh.
First, a hearty thank you to the boys of the road crew for our great theme song. Road trip inspiring tunes are their specialty. Take a listen at roadcrew66.com. Let's give them a hearty thank you for that little opening tune there. Now, let's jump on in our time machine and we'll step back to the mid-19th century. The Stanley brothers were identical twins, which worked well for two young men who loved practical jokes. Francis Edgar, F.E. to his friends, lived until 1918. Freeland, Oscar, F.O., lived until 1940. And their name will forever be associated with steam-powered vehicles. However, as with many automotive pioneers, these were men of diverse talents and interests that made tremendous contributions to an array of industries. The brothers were born June 1st, 1849, and from an early age they displayed a talent for music, for business, and for mechanical aptitude. In 1859, at the ripe age of 10, with support from their father, they started a small business refining and selling maple sugar. The brothers had also developed a local reputation for their ability to play the violin, and with tutelage from their grandfather, Liberty, they began making these instruments. Freeland had completed three violins by age 16, and this was the birth of a lifelong hobby. At the age of 20, the brothers began attending Western State Normal School with a goal of becoming teachers. Then for a brief time, the brothers parted ways. Freeland Oscar continued on course and became an educator and launched a small business to manufacture the Stanley Practical Drawing Set as a sideline. Francis Edgar chased his dreams of becoming a portrait artist, and in 1874 he moved to Lewiston, Maine, where he opened a photography studio. 2 years later, he perfected the photographic atomizer, a forerunner of the modern airbrush, which he patented in 1876. Then in 1882, the brothers began experimenting with various photograph development processes and established the Stanley Dry Plate Company in Boston. As a bit of an interesting historic footnote, the brothers would sell their company and patents to a gentleman named George Eastman. He would use these as the foundation for a multifaceted photography company named Kodak. In the late 1880s, the experiments of men like Ransom E. Olds and the demonstration of a steam-powered carriage in nearby Waterton, Massachusetts, captured the attention of Francis Edgar, and soon he and his brother were deeply engaged in experimentation of their own, first with an electric horseless carriage and then with an internal combustion version. But by 1896, they had decided that steam was the better option because, quote, it is reliable and easily understood. Using components from Francis's wagon and bicycle parts from Sterling Elliott's bicycle factory, they completed their first vehicle the following year. After extensive testing and refinement, the Stanley brothers took the vehicle to the 1898 Boston Auto Show. The resultant orders for these three vehicles served as incentive for the brothers to launch a new enterprise, the Stanley Steam Company. Later that fall, they entered a race at Boston's Charles Park, and with speeds nearing 28 miles per hour, bested a Dion tricycle in a Whitney, another steamer. Then they entered the hill climbing competition, and their steamer was the only one to reach the summit. It was a day well spent, as the publicity from the event garnered 200 orders for the fledgling company. The success of the company was noted by wealthy publisher John Brisbane Walker, who was very eager to enter the automobile manufacturing business. Excuse me. In 1899, he offered to purchase the Stanley's company and assume all outstanding debts. Reluctant to sell, the brothers countered with an offer that they deemed ridiculously excessive, $250,000. Much to their surprise, Walker accepted the counteroffer. But Walker and his partner, Amzi Barber, began a feud almost immediately and soon divided the company to create two new manufacturers, Mobile and Locomobile. This was not the end of the Stanley Brothers' automotive endeavors. It was merely the end of the first chapter. With the sale of the company, the brothers now had capital for experimentation and development, and in 1901, they launched a new company, Stanley Motor Carriage Company. Production commenced that year from their Newton, Massachusetts factory, even though advancements with internal combustion engines was already encroaching on the steam car market. But this did not deter the Stanley brothers. They steadfastly adhered to perfecting their steam-powered vehicles, even though sales were constrained, and they continued garnering headlines. In 1906, at Ormond Beach in Florida, now Daytona Beach, Fred Marriott, the company's repair department manager, he piloted the streamlined Stanley Woggle Bug Racer to a new land speed record, 127.6 miles per hour for the standing mile. The following year, with an improved model, Marriott crashed at a speed near 150 miles per hour and miraculously survived. The company continued promoting its cars through racing and performance events, but chose to limit traditional marketing. As a result, sales remained anemic, with only 5,200 cars manufactured by 1911. The death knell came in 1912 when Cadillac introduced an electric starter as standard equipment. Surprisingly, however, unlike many of its competitors, Stanley soldiered on to 1929. Modernization and changes came slowly for the company. In 1913, electric lights became an option. The commercial line of vehicles, buses, and trucks was discontinued in 1916. And then, reluctantly, in 1917, the brothers agreed to initiate a modest advertising campaign. In the following year, Francis Edgar was killed in an automobile accident. And by 1923, the company was on the brink of bankruptcy. So Freeland divested himself of the company by selling it to the Steam Vehicle Corporation of America. Even though the new owners attempted to modernize the Stanley with the addition of items such as hydraulic brakes, the age of steam had passed. With the liquidation sale in 1929, the Stanley steamer story came to an end. Even though dozens of companies had manufactured steam-powered automobiles during the infancy of the company, the Stanley is one that became synonymous with vehicles that had once been derisively referred to as teapots with wheels. See, I told you, trivia, history, and a fascinating story. Now let's wrap up today's program with a shout out to the one and only Wagon Wheel Motel in charming Cuba, Missouri. This is the oldest continuously operated on a motel on Route 66. Now, there's a bit of trivia for you. It's a living time capsule wrapped in modern amenities. It's a destination, and it's the essence of the Route 66 experience. And when you stop for the night, please say howdy, Miss Connie, for us. And how do you get to the legendary Wagon Wheel Motel? Road trip! A road trip on Route 66. And what's the best way to enjoy a holiday on this storied old road? You book and plan the holiday with the good folks at Route Trip USA. They test the pillows and sample the enchiladas. They know how to plan a trip that's going to be memorable and trouble-free. Well, until we meet again tomorrow morning for another interesting story, adios, amigos. I hope that you can join me in the morning for another episode of Wake Up with Jim. Invite your friends. Let's make it an early morning coffee party. What do you say? I want to thank everybody who joined us, and like I say, we'll talk again tomorrow. Adios.
Say hello to a new friend on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.